Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us as we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make. The first is we will receive the 10 cents a meal offering today during our morning worship. Please mark donations in the offering plate or in the box on the communion table. Also, note that Charles Matthews has served Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church for over 12 years with great distinction. As Charles' time with us comes to an end, we'd like to send him off with our best. To that end, we'll be collecting a love offering to be given on September 11th. So that's through this next 2 weeks. Please make sure to put that in the offering and the love in the memo line. All ladies are invited to join the Presbyterian women for their 2022-23 kickoff breakfast on September 10th at 9 a.m. See PD Self today to sign up. Don't forget that we have Sunday school classes each week to study God's words for all ages at 9 o'clock. To find out more about the classes offered, see Paige Benson. The Rally Day kickoff for our new Sunday school year is on September the 11th at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. There'll be a light breakfast served, and everyone is invited. Parents, please let us know if you have a third grader this year or if we accidentally missed your years so we can present a Bible to them. Cook's Church will hold the mission trip to Caggiato Children's Home, departing on Thursday, September 15th, and returning Tuesday, September 27th. Please be in prayer for the team during their time in Kenya, and we're going to hear a report from them this morning in our time moment for mission. September through November daily bread devotionals are in, and so please grab one of those. Mark your calendar for these upcoming mission ministry events. Sandwich making for the local homeless shelter is Sunday, September 18th, right after worship. The crop walk is Sunday, October 16th, after worship, and that'll be here in our church lot. We're going to walk the property. Operation Christmas Child, so we'll begin collecting shoeboxes in the early fall, so watch for more details to come. The beautiful flowers in the sanctuary this morning are in loving memory of Russ and Alice Thompson by their family. Those are the announcements that I have. We have one from Reg from personnel. Reg.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a happy day. Personnel has finished our job, hadn't we, Paige? It's our pleasure to announce this morning we have hired a young man as our youth director for Cook's. Taylor Michelle, we consider him a son of the church because Taylor actually grew up in our play school. And helped with play school later in his growing years. So he's very familiar. When he came to visit, it's like, oh, you go to that. Oh, I know where that is. I've been there. So Taylor has good, vast experience, actually, in youth leadership. He has spent several summers directing camps in the mountains of Georgia, youth camps, youth Christian camps. So he comes with a lot of experience. He's a Liberty University grad. He played ball, started out at Pfeiffer on a baseball scholarship. He said after 5 days that just wasn't where the Lord wanted him to be, so he chose to go to Liberty. So we're excited. We advertised everywhere, as you probably know, and all of a sudden I get a call one night from Kelly Carter, our play school director. Who's very dear to me because she was an East Carolina grad as well. Come find out, her roommate at East Carolina, this is her son. So we've got a lot of connections there. So he's a pirate, and that's a good thing up front. But we're very pleased that he's going to be with us. He starts on the 11th. He'll be here giving the children's sermon and having, I think, some first youth group meetings then. He'll be getting in touch with a lot of the parents of the youth that will be identified and getting in touch with them to plan and so forth. So we're excited. We just wanted to share the news with you. Thank you a lot.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, sir.
At this point, we've got a moment for mission.
Good morning.
Jumbo.
So Petey and I are leading another mission trip, leaving very soon, September 15th, as you know. And this will be, we've gone several times. We've had many people participate. But it originated actually out of this church. So when we became involved as a church in 2008, we started collecting shoes and school supplies and clothes and sending them. And then in 2010, we had our first mission trip. We've had hundreds of people participate in these mission trips, either in participation on the trip itself or bringing supplies, or helping to plan fundraising events for the mission trips. So it's been quite a participation from this church. We also partner with other churches. We have two in Florida, one in Ohio, and one in Pittsburgh that help support this church, and one in Waxhaw, and one in Boone. Yeah, so there are several churches that come together. They're all Presbyterian churches that come together and support this home. What you don't get to see is the joy on these kids' faces when we get off that bus and come each year. It is like this ray of sunshine that warms you to the soul. They are so happy to see us. They're so glad. They are so thankful. They are so appreciative of your support. And we have many child sponsors in this church. If you are a child sponsor, you've gotten their letters showing just how much they appreciate. They write beautiful letters, mm-hmm. of course. The kids have to learn English to go to school so they can communicate with people in that way. I want to tell you one story. And this is a story of Econet. When Petey and I led our first mission trip in 2010, it was all Cook members. We had 9 members attend that trip. Econet was about 4 years old and had just come to the home. We got off the bus. All the kids were laughing and smiling and running towards us, except for Econet. Econet was withdrawn, she was sad, she wouldn't smile, she couldn't speak because she'd just come, she didn't know the language, she was frightened. By the time we left, Jan Holler, Ella Holler, and Jim Holler worked on that child every day. They got her to smile. So that was a big accomplishment. So we thought, man, we really got to get through to this little girl. So every year since then, when we would come, here comes Econet. She's got this big smile on her face. She can't wait to hug you. And when we leave, she cries. She doesn't want us to go. But think about it. Over from 2010 to about 2017, that's 7 years, this is the response we got. Every year we saw her grow a little bit more, a little bit more open, a little bit more joyful. We started taking shoes from Samaritan's Feet, and we started doing feet washings in about 2015. So we did 2015, 2016, 2017. We were taking tennis shoes, doing feet washings at the home. The kids got to hear those stories about Jesus, but by the time 2017 came along, it was funny. We started hearing from the kids their testimonies. And that was really eye-opening for us. So 2017, I take a group of 23 college students from UNCC. College students, they are invincible. They're never going to die. Everything is wrong. They want to fix the world. You know, anything that we could do. Taking clothes in the clothing closet. They wanted just to distribute all the clothes to the kids instead of putting them in the clothing closet. Said, no. So we got through that, but there was this one girl that I roomed with, and she was particularly opinionated, And she was like, well, I can't wait to the feet washing because I'm going to teach this little child about Jesus. And I says, well, I think you should talk to Ika now. So she says, okay, I'm going to win her over. So she comes to me after the feet washing and she's crying and she says, you know what, it's not fair. I said, okay, well, it's not fair. She said, Ekanet testified to me. She told me her story. And it was quite moving for her and for everyone around us because we got to see that we're not only giving to these children, those children are impacting our lives as well. And so the next year, we didn't take shoes. I took a different mission group, and we got off the bus, and here comes Ekanet, and she's running to me, and she said, did you bring shoes? Did you bring shoes? I said, no, we didn't get to bring shoes this year. And she said, that's okay. She said, I took my shoes to my village, and I washed my cousin's feet, and I told her about Jesus. We are building a church in Kenya, one child at a time. And it's a mission of this church that you can all be so proud of because we're making a difference in the lives of these children. They're growing up to be Christian. They're growing up to be educated. They're growing up to be godly people that have an impact on their communities. And we're seeing it every time we go. We see it in the alumni that come back. We see it in the children that are going to school. So we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart, but also thank you from the bottom of theirs. This coming year, what we're doing at the end of this year, we've done a lot of fundraising initiatives through this church. We've built a well in 2015. We've built a multi-purpose hall that they use it during the week to tutor the children. We bring in tutors at night. On Sundays, it's where they hold their Sunday service, and people from the community come to the orphanage to attend their Sunday service. This year, or last couple years, we've been trying to raise funds for a school because the school in Kajiado is overcrowded. There's 50 to 60 kids in a class. They don't have enough materials. They don't have enough desks. So we want to build a school that we can have specific programming that are geared toward orphans because they have special needs. And then also open it up to the community children as well. It's an expensive endeavor, the most expensive that we've tried to take on. We need another $250,000 for the rest of the building and for three years of operating costs because in Kenya you've got to have that in the bank to open a new school, believe it or not. So that's our objective. We've raised about $90,000 so far. We need to raise the rest. And we thought, okay, we're just going to reach out to all our churches and we're going to come together as a community of Christ, and God willing, this will be done. We do have some postcards as well as some information flyers in the narthex if you'd like to pick those up. There's several ways to get to give. We have a GoFundMe campaign. We have a text to give. You can mail the check directly to us, or you can give it through your donations to Cook's Church. Just mark it orphan school or Kajiado, you know, whatever way that you'd like to do that, but just make it clear that that's what you would like. Again, thank you. We really appreciate it. We love you. The kids love you. And we will be leaving, and we'll come back, and we'll give another update.
Yes. I have one thing to say about Ekanet. One year, Gay had to have surgery, and she didn't get to go on our trip. The next time we went, and Gay was there, she came running up to Gay, and she said, I thought you had died. And she was just in tears. They were both in tears. It's you build these bonds with these children, and it's wonderful. Anyway, I have to tell that one.
Thank you
for your support.
You ready?
Yeah. Just took me a while to get this. Call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his court.
Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the people with equity.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all it contains. Let the field exult, and all that is in it. Let us pray. Through the ages, O God, you have called us to follow you. You led us to freedom, to hope, and to peace. In our hearts again today, this morning, O Lord, and lead us into your healing love. Lead us into that healing love so that we might serve you faithfully and fully in this world that you have created for us. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. I invite you now to rise and join me, those of you who are able, in the singing of our first hymn, number 475. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ bore our sin on his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Friends, as Christians, we confess our sins, expecting to receive not God's condemnation, but instead to receive God's amazing grace. And so we boldly step forward, uttering our confessions corporately and then silently alone, doing so at the Lord's behest and being greeted with his gracious mercy. So join me as we pray our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. We confess, O Lord, that we love attention. We're pleased when people single us out for something good that we have done, for some outstanding act or trait of kindness that we exhibit. We revel in the light, but the seductive light too often captures us, and we seek its brightness and glory and turn our backs on others in need. We have been given many gifts, but have failed to use them to help others and to serve you. Forgive us our vanity and greed. Heal our wounded and aching souls. Place us again on the pathway of peace and hope that is your way to true life. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, by the waters of our baptisms, we know something deeply wonderful and deeply true, that we have been washed of our sin, have been revealed to be the children of the Son of Man, and thus are known to be saved into eternity. Friends, believe the good gospel, the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father. Now let us confess what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn, number 375. this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come down for a moment that's just for them.
I'm going to try to explain that to you a little bit, what these two meanings are. Jesus, this is a parable that his disciples asked him to explain, and he explains it from his view. So I'm going to try to help you when you hear Jason give it, what my feelings are from it. The seed, who is represented by the seed? Who would the seed be? No, the seed would be us, the Christians, okay? The farmer that spreads the seed, the good seed, is now, who would that be? That would be Jesus, right? Okay, the farmer spreads the seed. The next day, or the next night, the seed is tainted with weeds. Who would be the weed? The devil, exactly. So once the servants realize that there's weeds with the good seed, and the seed will turn to wheat, the servants ask Jesus, or the farmer in this case, can we go and pull it? Do you want us to go ahead and pull it? Jesus' answer would be, no, don't pull it. Let them grow together. And once they grow together, the harvesters, who would be the harvesters? Disciples, close. The harvesters will be the angels. The living angels will harvest the wheat and harvest the wheat and pull the weeds. Gets confusing. Okay, and that's what they're going to do. And then once they pull the weeds, what do they do with it? Throw them away. Or in this case, they're going to burn them. Burning represents what? Hell. Very good. So in this case, when the angels pulls the weeds, they take them into hell. That represents if you're a sinner in God's world, in kingdom, we're going to hell, right? So we want to be the good Christians and follow Jesus' word. Once the harvest is completed, the wheat in this way is the Christians, and we will follow Jesus as good Christians. Does that explain it? Okay. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we are the seeds in your kingdom. Help us to shine like the sun. Amen.
We're going to move forward past the anthem this morning into our time for Scripture. And as always, when we come into the Word, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice knowing that you have shared your holy and precious word with us. Gracious God, now as we hear your word read and hear it proclaimed, we pray that you would enlighten us, quickening our hearts and minds to hear your voice amid the strains of this world that are around us. Gracious God, awaken in us a desire to know you fully, to be your servants, to consider your harvest with the first thoughts and to honor it with the first fruits of our lives, gracious God. Be with us now as we hear your word, preparing us for what you would have us do and what you would have us be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Open house for Aiden School. And his teacher was sharing with us an interview that she had watched. and the interviewer was talking to UCLA college students. And one of the questions that he asked in the interview was, how many stars are on our flag? Some of the answers were 130, oh, maybe 20. They didn't know. And then he asked, where's the capital? Where's our capital? And one of the answers was, we have a capital. And another one was, is it California? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit worried when these are college students and that's all they know about our country. And then I was reading over the scripture for today, and to make a long story short, this scripture resonated with me because my takeaway from it was we need to have faith and we need to believe because, again, the seed and the weeds and God's purpose for all of us. Our testament scripture reading is Psalms 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way.
It's interesting to note that when I thought about doing a sermon series on the parables, I thought this would be the great summer of the parable. And I hope it has been an enjoyable summer. This will be, contrary to what I said last week, the last time that I preach on the parables for a while. And that's for good reason. We've done them all summer. But one of the things that in retrospect that I look at and realize that I should have done is I should have started with this one. The one that we're going to do today is without question probably the toughest of all the parables because it pushes us in a direction and up against awarenesses that we hold if we know our Bibles, but that we don't necessarily relish and we don't necessarily come back to as often as we do John 3:16 or some of the passages about God's love. We're going to talk today about a parable that Jesus tells in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We've been talking a lot about the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and for good reason. He tells in this particular 13th chapter, he's going to tell seven parables. He begins with the parable of the sower, which answers the question, why are there so many different responses to the gospel? Why is it that sometimes when you share the great good news that God has drawn near to save sinners and that through Jesus Christ that we are reconciled to God forever, God the Father forever, and are entitled to the benefits of His Son's kingdom? That's the awareness that we get when we really start thinking about the scriptures and where the gospel falls. But others that don't come alive with that message, the parable of the sower explains that what's happened. This parable tells us the answer, why is there still evil in the world where the king has already come? And that's a difficult thing to talk about and to be aware of as we move into our Christian faith. This is also, humorously, always tough for me to talk about growing things, because if there is an opposite to a green thumb, I guess you'd call that a black thumb. I happen to have it. The paradigmatic example is when I went off and got my first apartment, my mom very happily got me a fern. The fern was going to sit outside of the apartment and just be kind of a welcoming fern. That fern shriveled up and died despite whatever it was I was doing for it. And then one day the apartment manager came and asked me to throw it away. It had gotten that bad. So when we talk about growing things, I'm in a little bit of a dissonant spot because I am so bad at it. But Jesus, in the parables, uses common, everyday, ordinary things as the means to convey and teach us deep lessons. As I've said, Jesus is going to teach in the Gospels a total of 40 parables. He uses this as a means by which he teaches so very much. Now, parables are basically comparisons. I think, literally translates as laying one thing beside the other. And the entire parable is what is being compared. Sometimes if you hear the kingdom of God is like a man, you might think, well, the kingdom is a man. Well, it's not. It is. It's Jesus, right? Let me catch myself there. The kingdom is Jesus, but not an ordinary, everyday man. But what we find is that when we look at parables, is that two things are being compared in a way, and it's not just the man, it's the entire story. So we're not going to take from this that the parable, that the kingdom is like a man or anything like that. We're going to listen and hear what it says. And then thankfully, this parable, like the parable of the sower, is actually explained for us, and I'm going to read that as well. And that comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, and it will come in verses 36 through 43. So I invite you now to hear the two parts of this parable, the first in which Jesus tells it, and the second in which he explains it. He put up another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servant of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Later, as Jesus Christ comes into the house, he explains this, and I read from 36 forward. "Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of the kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." In December of about a decade ago now, I was waiting on a package in my house. We had at the time one regular UPS driver. He was the UPS driver at the time for both my house and the church that I was serving, First Presbyterian over in Mount Holly. His name was Joel, and we began a bit of an acquaintanceship. It was flirting with friendship, but we never quite got there. But one day he came, and he was visibly shaken. It was the day of the Newtown massacre, as was I. And we had a moment in which we simply prayed, and we just didn't understand the evil of the world. And the only faithful prayer that we could make was, "Come, Lord Jesus," which was at the time appropriate, considering it was the Advent season. So we had this moment, but it opened up for me, that one in particular, and I'm sure it did for others, but we all come into this awareness. The awareness that even though this world is good, even though this world has been redeemed, in fact, saved by Jesus Christ's death on Calvary, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, that we still have these dark and nasty things that happen. There is still evil in the world. And this causes a lot of people a lot of problems, scripturally, because they go and they look in the pages of the scriptures and they see that this is the Prince of Peace. And so the assumption is, well, Jesus can't be the Prince of Peace if there's not peace. That misunderstands where we are in time. It misunderstands the nature of our gospel message. The fact of the matter is that these bad things happen because there is an antagonistic force at work against us. Now, look, this is one of the most dangerous and difficult things to talk about as we talk about what we would call Satan or the devil. It's difficult because it's not something we talk about very frequently in the church, and for good reason. The good reason is, of course, that most people have in the back of their minds, when you say the words, a red man with horns or some comic book character that sits up on your shoulder urging you to eat that next piece of chocolate cake when your diet's telling you, your good angel is telling you not to. The fact of the matter is that the devil is at work in this world and there are bad things that happen. That's what this parable teaches us. But it teaches us something deeper. It teaches us not that there's evil in the world, which all we would need to do is simply go and open up the latest Charlotte Observer to see something of that order. It instead teaches us that there is someone in charge and that that someone has a plan. The weeds are not torn up because God is in control. And God will, on his judgment day, render judgment appropriately. That's what we get from this, is the awareness that these bad things can happen because there is still evil in the world. But don't ever miss the fact of what John says in the Gospel, what Jesus says, rather, in the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, the 33 verse. There he says, "Take courage, for I have conquered," past tense, "the world." So we enter into this time and space in which we see these evil deeds still sometimes come and take place under God's Son. And we can know with certainty that this place, this plan, is by God's definition working out according to his will. The second thing that we can glean from this is to be humble. One of the things that is easy for us to do is to judge people. We do it so easily, we may not even be conscious of it when we're doing it. We find reasons and ways to think less of other people. And that is, in fact, a reflection of our sin natures as well. But what we find is that the more we read the parable of the weeds, that we realize that God says, don't pull up the weeds, lest you might discombobulate some of the wheat. And so we realize in that moment that what we think of as weed eating may in fact be damaging the body of the kingdom of God. There was a great example of this. It was a young man named Shea Rathbun. Shea got into trouble with the law dealing drugs in South Carolina when he was in his late teens and early 20s. He was involved in an act of violence that saw him sentenced to 20 years in incarcerated time. Shay was a bad seed at some level to begin with. But then in the program of Kairos and there at prison, he came alive through Jesus Christ. And he became, over time, even the prison's chaplain assistant, such that we couldn't do mission trips in without his massive assistance. He was just a super guy. And the thing is, if we had treated him like a weed at some point, we'd have pulled him out and we would have done the world a tremendous disservice, because we just couldn't identify the weeds from the wheat at the time, and we still can't. Just because you know someone that's struggling, heck, it may even be you that's struggling. Just because you know someone that's struggling right now doesn't necessarily mean that their story turns out the way you, in your judgmental mind, might think it to be. God acts and does amazing things, and we rejoice in that knowledge, that people can be changed, and you can go from one day being weeds to the next being wheat by the power and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer, reaching up to God with those things that are on our hearts, that God, we expect God to intercede on our behalf for. Join me as we pray. O Lord, we come before you yet again, mindful of your grace, of your love, of your joy. We come reminded also that this is your world, that we are in your field, and we rejoice that you've planted us as wheat. Heavenly Father, we know that we are wheat because we worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that blessing, for we recognize it comes not from us, but rather from you. But gracious God, as your parable teaches us, there are still things that trouble us in this world. This is still very much a place that's broken by the power of sin. And to that end, there are sadnesses and sicknesses, even deaths, O Lord, that happen. And we pray, O Lord, for the people that are enduring the difficult times that life here before hereafter has for us. And so, Heavenly Father, we think and pray for every member that is on our Cook's prayer list, thinking especially of Mike Stanford before his knee surgery. We think of Pat Hager. We think of Natalie Bryant and Lillian Bryant. We think of Sharon and Steve Gilmore. We think of Don Monteith and Jack McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin and Pete Mitchell and Debbie White. We pray for Will Harper and James Harper and Kelly Harper. We pray for all of those who stand in need of intercessory prayer, praying specifically for the ones that we don't know, O Lord, but know that you do. So, gracious God, we ask that you reach out and touch those people with what they need. Father God, we think of our mission team and we pray for them. We pray for their safe passage. We pray for their joyous service, and we pray for their grateful return, gracious God. Be with them in all that they do and they say, so that your love might be glorified, that your name might be lifted high from all the way here in Charlotte to all the way in Kenya. Be with these individuals, providing them fullness of health and safety in this trip. Gracious God, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. providing each of us exactly what we need. Gracious God, now as we return a portion of those blessings back to you, we pray that you would sanctify this offering, using it to bring about your will in this, your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers. Amen. The parable of the weeds gives us much to think about. It gives us the awareness that things are progressing toward an end. It gives us the awareness that there is a final point in which we can't make another decision. So I would encourage all of us to approach their own salvation with fear and trembling, remembering the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us here today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Have a great day.